Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
I am Velocity Child, and every Friday at the stroke of midnight, ride the broomstick with Fallen Woman, a weekly psychic fusion of forward thoughts, far-out ideas, magical foray, and spellbinding song. Stirring up the cauldron at Radio Free Brooklyn.
Hey, welcome to Fallen Woman. This is Velocity Child, and I am here with Amber Ray. Hey.
Hello.
How are you tonight?
I'm great. I'm so glad to be here with you. It's been so long since we've gotten together.
And before we crack open your brain, let me just share this with the listeners. The thoughts and opinions of fine folk on Fallen Woman do not necessarily reflect the thoughts and opinion of the people of Radio Free Brooklyn. And we do love Radio Free Brooklyn because they supply us with independent, censorship-free radio. And if you like that, I recommend going to radiofreebrooklyn.com/pledge, and you can pledge as little as $1 a month. Amber Ray, so you've been around the world.
Yeah.
What's the craziest country you have performed in and why?
Oh, man, let's see. You know, my favorite places to go in the world is, like, Canada, France, Italy.
Okay.
But I've been to Sweden, for instance.
No, we didn't say favorite, so we know what your favorites are.
Yeah.
What was the most outlandish experience you
had? Oh, gosh, I mean,
like, even though this is not happening.
I mean, I'm a world citizen, and honestly, most of the places I've gone have been severely colonized, so I haven't really experienced, like, you know, Asia, or I've never been to Asia.
Or the Middle East.
I mean, as far as I've gone is Australia, and that was definitely weird. Like, when you see spiders...
Australia's a lot like America, but wilder.
You know what? When the thought that came across my mind when I was there immediately was like, this is like bizarro America. Like, because it had McDonald's and Subways, and everything looked like relatively new, and it was just westernized. Everything was just westernized, but everybody talked funny and walked on the
drove on the opposite side.
So I thought of them as, I don't know, I just thought, wow, that's the first time I was in a country where I was on the opposite side of the street. But I saw, like, in just in random front people's yards,
and the toilet
in
flushes in the opposite direction too.
I guess so, but you know what, I didn't even look at that when I was there. But the thing that really tripped me out is there are animals there. And, like, you would just walk down any random street in Sydney, and in somebody's front yard you'd see a giant spider web that was between, like, three different, like, trees or something. And the spider inside of it, the body would be, like, bigger than your nose and your mouth, and then its legs would be bigger than your face, basically. Huntsman spiders.
Terrifying.
Yeah. So
terrifying.
That was weird stuff. And then also just, like, the Aussie culture is a little weird, but I love it just the same anyway. I mean, I love traveling the world and doing that, so it's been fun. Finland was a little weird, but cool.
It was, like, goofy.
Yeah, like, it's just different. Every place has such a different spirit, such a different flavor, just a different way that people are. Like, the best way to deal with the French is to take the piss out of them, because they take themselves so seriously, and they can be so snotty.
Yes.
But if you get snotty and, like, mock them, like, act too serious and get snotty with them, they tend to laugh at you because they get that you get them, and they just all of a sudden it doesn't matter anymore.
Right.
You know? It's like, oh, yes, but I did not know what you were saying. And they go, ah, ha, ha, ha. You're being just like me. That's funny.
Have you been in Berlin?
Yeah, many times. Yeah, I love Berlin. You know what, though? To be honest with you, I'm just tired of traveling. I've done so much in the last, like, 8 years. I've done so much touring.
Constant, I've seen.
Yeah, and staying on the road all over the United States. I've done a bunch of places in Canada and gone back to Europe a bunch of times. And there's still places in the States that I haven't been that I want to go. I still haven't done Hawaii and some other states in the Northwest and stuff. So.
I did the Hawaiian Burlesque Festival a few times. It was wonderful.
Yeah, so I still want to go to Hawaii, and there's a bunch of other places in the States that I still haven't been yet.
Yeah.
I want to do a lot more exploration in North America because I'm really interested in the indigenous culture here and doing...
Have you done New Orleans?
Oh, yeah. I've lived in New Orleans. I've lived on Bourbon Street. I did that in 99, yeah.
No way.
Yeah, I lived on Hollywood Boulevard in L.A., too.
Did you come here from New Orleans?
No, I came from Philadelphia. I'm originally from Wisconsin, though.
When did you live in New Orleans?
99. And
that
then
was
I moved
after
to Philly.
You came here, and then you came back here. No,
no.
I'm so confused.
I moved here in 2001. I came here the pit was still smoking when I moved here.
Right.
9/11.
Yeah.
It was still on fire when I moved here.
Wow.
Yeah. It happened while I was in Philly, but a couple months later, I said, I'm moving there. Yeah. A lot of people were leaving. I was like, I'm going. Burn it down or build it up. I'm going.
Wow.
If life could end that fast, I have to go do that now. I was like 21, 22 when you met me.
Yeah, I know. You were a baby. You're a baby.
I'm going to be 40 this year.
Only child, too, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
No siblings.
No siblings.
Are your parents still married?
Oh, no, no, no. No, no. They haven't been together since I was 6 months old.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've never seen them together, really.
Are they both alive?
Yes. Yes, and young.
Which one are you connected to?
My dad.
Your dad, yeah.
He's a human person. He's
It's so
just,
good that you have that.
I'm so lucky. If I didn't have him, I would be much worse than I already am. You know, but, I mean, unfortunately, I was raised by my mother.
Right.
But she, I think my mom is a narcissist. And I think she's
my mother
depressed.
Is as well,
and she was
and depressed.
She was neglectful, and then when you try to call her responsibilities, she was abusive.
Thoroughly,
and yeah, yes. That was my mother.
Yes.
And
she would go into a narcissistic rage.
Yes,
yeah,
yes, and she still is, and she constantly has to center herself when you're trying to get her to deal with a situation.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm too old for that now. So, yeah, I haven't talked to my mom in almost 2 years. On May 30th, it'll be 2 years since I spoke to her.
Yeah, my mother fled the coop when I was in the coma. She, little to no explanation, really. Just said her therapist told her she should listen to her body. She wasn't going to visit me when I came back home from the hospital. And we haven't spoken since. I'd say that's 5 years now.
Wow.
Yeah. Ugh, crazy.
You know, see, this is the thing that, like, still depresses me to this day. And this is, like, the deepest thing that I have to deal with is this fact that I came from this portal that rejects me constantly.
Yes, yes.
And it's a horrific feeling.
I grew up, and you grow, and you realize when you finally let go of that, person, toxic person in your life, you start remembering all these fucked up things that you made yourself forget
exactly.
So you could keep loving them in spite of
yes.
the mean things they'd
the thing
say
like,
or
oh,
do.
Oh, this is just the way it is.
Yeah.
You know, and this is just what we have to deal with. No, and I go, no, 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 you don't. You know, like, no, you don't have to deal with it. And why would you reward a system that is failing? You know, like, I'm just not going to do it. I've built my life on dreams, and, like, well, that's not part of my dream. So, but I quit smoking after I got rid of her, and I used my severing of my relationship with her as my severing, because my whole life my mom has been a menthol cigarette smoker, and to this day she still smokes all the time, and she always says things like, I don't have time to do anything, but yet the ashtray is filled, like, sky high with butts, and, like, you know, and she has to have a cigarette. It's always like, she has to have this cigarette, and, like, I had all these throat problems as a child because she would trap me in the house because of all the secondhand smoke.
And
I think it was also because of depression. I think it also, the throat stuff was because of depression as well. But
that throat chakra is about speaking up for yourself. It's about communication.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
if you feel that you're oppressed, repressed, stifled, you're going to have inherent throat chakra issues.
She moved me to the middle of nowhere. She moved me out into the country into a trailer park that was like 20 minutes from any town. And so all that was there was, like, bullies and maybe a couple other kids, but mostly, like, retirees. And it was just so lonely and horrific. And then I had all these problems dealing with people because she isolated me so much. Mm-hmm. And she moved me around so much when I was a kid, so I'd never had, like, relationships that were nurtured. And, and so it wasn't until I actually came to New York, and now I've known you for nearly, you know, 16, 17 years.
At least 15.
Yeah. And so, you know, now I have relationships that have nurtured and stood the test of time. Whereas growing up, I never had anything to really hold on to.
Right.
And I was severely depressed and suicidal by age 10. Like, I was trying to jump out of the car on the freeway while my mom was screaming at me in it. Like, I was, I had to see a therapist, and she kept blaming my dad for not being around. And it's true, he wasn't around that much, but the situation was so crazy, and my dad was so sensitive. My dad's a Pisces, my mom's an Aquarius, and my dad also just didn't grow up that way. Like, a couple weeks ago, I was talking to my dad, and, you know, racism is something that's really important to me that I talk about every day, and I try to deal with every day, and also confront every day. And I asked my dad on Easter, I said, you know, Dad, when you were growing up, because my mom's family was so racist. And my grandpa was a cop during the civil rights in Milwaukee.
Your grandpa and your mama's son?
Yeah. And my grandma was cold and bitter because he never treated her nicely. And by the time my mom was born, she was the last child. My grandmother did not want any more kids. My grandma told me the story, and I was like, oh, thanks a lot, lady. She was like, ugh. And then I got pregnant with your mom, and I went, like, I felt like this kicked my gut, and I was like, you bitch, you destroyed my life. Like, I was just like, you know, I didn't say that to her because she was like old and dying, but I was like, oh my God.
Like a swift kick to the cunt.
Yeah, you know, and my dad's side was never like that, and neither is anybody in his family. And so I asked him, I said, when you were growing up, did you ever see any weird racism or anything from your parents, like, ever? Uh-huh. And he goes, you know, there was only one time that we talked about it, and it was when they were having a black couple from church over, and they just said, we just want you to know that there's a couple of our friends who are coming over tonight, and they don't look like us, but we want you to understand that they exactly are like us, and you're going to treat them exactly like you would treat anybody. And
that's well put.
And I, like, started crying because I thought of what made my father, and it was those people. Whereas on my mom's side,
right,
you know, it was negative and racist and dark and, like, never, like, denial and like aggression.
Toxic vinegar.
And beating down. And it was just not right, you know? And, so cigarettes. At the time, I was also seeing a guy who I discovered that he was a sociopath. Both him and my mother were narcissists, and I started to get really depressed.
So sociopathy and narcissism are so similar in that they do lack empathy, severe lacking of empathy.
But he was crafty, whereas my mom doesn't know that she's a narcissist. She doesn't preen. She just centers herself constantly.
Yeah.
Whereas he was a preener who was doing really sneaky, awful things that I figured out by way of the universe and witches that were near me. That it, weird how the universe delivered me the truth on him, but let's just put it this way. I haven't slept with anybody or dated since that guy 2 years ago. I haven't smoked cigarettes either, really. I mean, I sort of dated people, but not really. I'd gone on one date here and there, but no, I haven't even slept with anybody in that long. So,
no Tinder for you.
I go on Tinder and I'll meet people, but I just don't.
Yeah, the sex
everyone disappoints me.
Yeah, I know.
I hate to say it. But anyway, so he was also a menthol cigarette smoker. And so I just go...
Like your mom.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I started spending a lot of time with my mom because she bought this house near our favorite beach in Florida. And she was like, oh, here's the keys. You know, this is your house too. But yet she wouldn't deal with any of the responsibilities that needed to be done around the house and things that I needed to come down there.
Right.
Like, there was just a bunch of different things, like getting internet and dealing with her hoard and all of this stuff. There was just too much going on there that she refused to deal with and kept saying she worked too much and she had no time. But she just wasn't putting any effort into being healthy.
Mm.
But anyway, so I Isn't started...
Isn't it like, you said that you're like your future, said you wanted to spend the second half of your life in total fitness.
Yeah.
What was the name of the...
What I'm doing now?
Yeah.
Krav Maga. But let me finish the cigarette thing real quick.
Oh, sorry. Because so, it made me think about...
Yeah, we're going to go there. This is part of that whole process and who I am now, what's been happening the last couple of years.
Right, right.
So I decided to give up cigarettes for one thing because I spend a lot of time in the indigenous world going to powwows and things, and tobacco has become sacred to me. Commercialization of it is absolutely a sin. So taking part in the commercialization of tobacco to me is a crime, and so I have strict spiritual rules for tobacco use now. Mm. Like, you know, if you're at a sweat lodge and you're past a pipe and you're having ceremony, you know, that's a use of tobacco, that's okay. If I'm doing a performance where I'm smoking or, you know, something like that, it's okay. If I'm sharing with somebody, if it's mixed with green, you know, that's a tobacco use that is sacred to me. But like the habitual toxic using of it is not right. So I started to realize at this time that I was spending all this time with my mom, I got so depressed, and that was the last time that I bottomed out so hard that I was thinking about killing myself again.
Dude.
And I realized it was because I was hanging out with this guy and my mom, and they were both just like sucking the life out of me. And of course, you know, when narcissists and empaths get together.
Oh my God. Yeah,
so imagine what kind of
I'm an empath.
Yeah, me too.
You know that.
So you can see what kind of storm was going on.
Oh.
So my decision was to get rid of them both at the same time and to attach them to the tobacco. So I saved my last pack of cigarettes, which sits on my altar. And I didn't smoke it. I was going to smoke that last one, and I decided, no, this is it. This is the reminder of if I want to keep toxic people that are that unhealthy out of my life, then I can't partake in this habit anymore. And so that was my trade-off, and I haven't been a habitual cigarette smoker since. In fact, I don't even remember the last time I had even a drag of tobacco.
You know, when I think about my mother, I always think about, God, what would happen if I saw her right now?
Yeah, me too.
And I would have a really difficult time restraining myself from...
Yes.
Having no filter.
Yeah, for sure.
Having no filter. My whole life, I have been filtering my real self around my mother because she can't handle the truth.
Yeah, mine so, either.
Girl,
and violently opposed to it, violently
opposed to you, basically. Yeah, violently opposed.
I'm
to
just
you.
Saying she flies off the handle, so that tends to be how I am with her because I'm like, you can't dominate me anymore with your screaming. Like
my mother had two abortions before me, and I asked her, well, if you hate me so much, then why did you have me? She said, well, it's living up to my responsibility. I realized I had to live up to my responsibilities.
Yeah.
That was me. Living up to responsibilities.
Wow. Well, thanks for doing something you didn't want to.
I think it was the two previous abortions, too, I suspect.
Yeah.
Well, she says that I used to bruise the outside of her tummy when she was pregnant with me from kicking so hard.
Uh-huh.
And then on top of it, like, full on Rosemary's Baby. And then on top of it, I was born like 2 weeks early, and the labor was, she's tiny, like Kate Moss. She's teeny.
Really?
Thin. Yeah, she's built like a hummingbird.
Wow.
And I was her only child ever, and she was only 22.
Yeah.
And the labor was only 2 hours.
Wow. Holy shit.
Water breaking in the car on the way there. 2 weeks early, bruises on the tummy. I think I was the previous two abortions.
Wow.
I think I just couldn't wait to get out of that loveless cunt. Full on. Get me out of here.
Yeah, that's a tough one, man. Yeah, the rejection by the portal from which you came.
And in preschool,
that is the most depressing thing.
You know how they make you, you know, one of the first things you learn, like, in preschool is, like, how to write your name.
Yeah.
And then they hang it on the school wall or whatever. She got called in for a meeting. You know that old saying, my whole family's from Arkansas, very southern, so there's a lot of sayings.
Yeah.
And you know the old saying, like, your name is Mud.
Yeah.
Well, apparently it stuck because the day in preschool they had us write categories.
And you said my name is
I just,
Mud.
Yeah, on the paper it says my name is, and you're supposed to write your name out.
Yeah.
And I wrote Mud. Because I really resonated with that. I really believed that I was Mud, and I wanted to share that.
No,
with them.
I mean, the reason that I was so depressed as a child, because the way she treated me, I just remember being a little girl and going, "Why am I here? Why did you have me? You didn't want me here."
That's the exact.
And you're
that's
so
exact
mean to me,
process.
And I don't know what to do with myself. I don't want to be here. I wish I wasn't
always
here.
Saying, but I'm a good person.
You know?
I'm a good person.
Yeah,
I'm
me
a good
too.
Person. I don't understand.
Like, I didn't do anything. Why are you treating me this way? And, like, you know, I've had these discussions with her, and we'll have these tearful discussions where she will somewhat admit that she. You know, she always says she did the best she could, but I don't agree with that, because the best she could was saying, you know, maybe we're poor and I'm stressed, but I love you. Come here. Let's hug each other. Never in her tenderness. Never any love. Never, I love you. Never, we're going to work it out. Let's go have it. It was always
but
bullying.
But at least as adults making up
mean.
For it, there has to be some redemption if you want to carry on a relationship in adulthood.
I said to my father, for instance, I said, "Hey, Dad, you know, sometimes I have problems with people because you weren't around and Mom wasn't around and she moved me around all the time. I can't have relationships with people." I was like, you were not there enough. And he goes, "You know, Amber, if there's anything in my life that I regret, it's that I wasn't there for you more. You know, like, I now that I see how it's affected you, I just didn't want to upset you even more by being around and not being able to, you know, I wanted, you know." I don't know. It was so complicated. I mean,
it would have been. Was it? Would it? Do you think it would have been easier if you had siblings?
Yeah, because I would have had a witness.
Oh my God! I say that
Hello.
To everybody. Oh my
Thank
God! Can
you.
I get a fucking witness?
That's what I'm saying.
I used to beg for a sibling. I needed. It wasn't just about feeling neglected and lonely.
So that
it was also like you just
needed
a witness to witness this shit before they gaslight you again.
Exactly.
And make you pretend you didn't see that thing that you saw, or that other thing didn't happen.
And now that I'm almost 40, I see all of that, and I'm violently opposed to it. I'm like, no, I have grown and matured, and I'm a grown woman who lives on my own and has built a career. I don't buy what you're saying. And furthermore, I don't have relationships like this with other people. So I'm guessing that the problem rests within you being unreasonable. I cannot sit here and talk to you anymore. Instead of going, you know, which is often how it ends up, you know.
I know. And, you know, that old saying, like, a face only a mother could love.
Yeah.
It's like, and people have such a hard time accepting that sometimes mothers don't love their children.
Yeah.
This is true. This is fact.
Yeah. That's why we've got an epidemic of what we've got out in this world, unfortunately.
Mm. Yeah.
People are irresponsibly reproducing. You know?
Oh my God, yeah.
And they're not taking, you know, your mom said she fulfilled your responsibility. Ugh. She didn't finish it. She may have brought you here, but she didn't fucking give you what you needed in order to make you feel safe.
No, I did not have the tools to survive when I left the nest, that's for sure.
And I was scarred early. I was scarred with baggage early on because of that. And
I ended up depending
on
a lot of strangers for a while.
Yeah, yeah. So I decided since then that, like, I wanted to be healthier in my life as I'm getting older. And after the election, I decided that nobody was ever going to grab my pussy again because I've had people assault me and gaslight me and character, you know, assassinate and shame me and fuck with me. And then I found out later that they lost their job for doing what they did to me years later. Like, I'm over it. Yeah, I mean, I've had shit happen that has given me PTSD. I mean, I didn't even remember the assault that happened to me in Germany until I heard the tape.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
I heard the tape, and then I was like, that happened to me in Germany, but it wasn't just grabbing. Like, you know, and I, you know, kind of bottomed out and lost it, and I wrote about it on Facebook, and one of the people that worked with that person told me
it was on videotape?
No.
Okay.
No, it was in Germany when I was in a show, and it was opening night with the host of the show, and he got his way to do anything, you know, pretty much. So he assaulted me, and I called him on it because he was also doing these dominant power games with me, and I didn't speak the language, and it was and I filed for divorce from Muffin 3 days before I went. It was the worst time of my entire life.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was horrible. But I decided, you know, after...
That is like a psychic pile drive.
Yeah. And that's the thing. So I decided that nobody was ever going to grab me again without paying for it. Uh-huh. And so I said, what is the most vicious thing that I can learn the fastest? I want to be a diabolical, lethal weapon by the time I die. And I decided that it was going to... I looked up on Google. I said, what is the fastest self-defense martial art that I can learn the nastiest thing that I can learn the fastest. Mm. And it was Krav Maga.
How do you spell that?
K-R-A-V-M-A-G-A.
And K-R-A-V-M-E?
M-A-G-A. Okay. Krav Maga. And it's...
Sounds like they'll make a great drag name.
No, it's Hebrew for a contact combat.
Uh-huh.
And it's counterterrorism.
I
learned how to take guns and knives away from people. I learned how to get in deal with all self-defense situations, whether it's chokes or bear hugs or being held down on the ground. I know how to do all of that stuff. And I do a lot of sparring, and I'm practitioner level 3 after a year and a half of being there.
Wow.
Yeah. And there's 15 levels, so... I go to 6 to 10 classes a week, and there's nothing that gives me more pleasure than play fighting and challenging my body. And I spent the first half of my life soft and without direction, and I'm going to spend the next half of my life, you know, chiseled with direction, like a finely sharpened weapon. And so that's what my life has become now.
Fucking gorgeous.
Thank you. It feels really good. I'm starting to get a lot stronger, and I'm going to have abs by the time I'm 40 in like six months from now. I've never had abs, so this is going to be interesting. You know? I got core. Plans. Yeah. My core has changed. It's taken almost 2 years for my body to change over, but everything's starting to change and into place.
What is your biggest advice for strengthening one's core?
Well, you know, they have us doing a lot of drills. It's, you know, you got to do
drills?
Planks. You got to, like military drills.
Sit-ups.
Sit-ups, planks, squats, anything that makes you center and keep balance and use your own weight to challenge yourself. That's what you got to do. Mm. So it can be yoga or it can be stuff like that. But you, in order to burn the fat, you've got to do the cardio. I tend to do most of my cardio in class, though. But I love it. Oh, man, I have so much fun. And so one day I'll be a trainer. I'm already eligible for teacher training because I've probably done close to 1,000 classes since I started. I'm pretty much one of their most avid students. I don't know if there's anyone that goes there more than I do. There might be.
And how long have you been... Since the election.
Since the week after the 2016 election.
Wow.
Also, to be honest with you, I'm afraid of a civil war. I see what's happening in our country right now. I'm not going to shut my face about standing up for people of color or women or people who are disadvantaged. And if I'm going to do that, I better be prepared to deal with somebody trying to haul off and punch me. So, you know, I'm just trying to be prepared for any aggressive situation that comes my way. And also, I would like to teach
women. Like the keychains that you've embellished with Swarovski.
Little stabby cats.
Yeah. Thank you, by the way, for giving me one earlier this evening. Mm. Where can we find those wonderful weapons?
You can
message
me on Facebook or Instagram, and I can set up. I can set up payment.
Oh. Yes, my feline Sadie has taken a deep liking to you.
Oh, and I'm
She's
not even a cat
drawn
person.
To you.
I'm not even a cat person, baby.
Well, whatever she is, she likes your the cut of your jib.
Yeah. So, but anyway, I encourage everybody to get into a self-defense class and to check it out. And you know, the beautiful thing about self-defense and what I'm doing now is that, you know, you realize when you get in there, it's hard and it's disheartening. And I've seen a lot of people fall out really fast. Mm-hmm. But if you stick with that training to watch what happens to your body and what happens to your mind and your perception, and especially to study as hard as I do, I've really been able to submerge myself in that. So it's become a great passion of my life. And because you're doing all this sparring and you're getting close to people and you have camaraderie with the other students you're working with, it also activates... You know, you smell their pheromones, you have the serotonin from the touching, even if they're choking you, or even if they're bear hugging you, or even if they're on top of you, or they're swinging. The fact that people are that close to you, there's still some sort of a, you know...
intimacy.
This, yeah, and that works our brain chemicals itself, because it creates all of that bonding. So... it's a really wonderful feeling to be there too, because almost everybody in class I love, you know, and they come from all different backgrounds, and you know, everybody feels awkward, and then you see everybody get stronger, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So,
any, I hate to ask this, any injuries?
A lot of bruising to begin with. Sometimes I still get bruised. I feel very lucky. I've tried to be careful not to hurt myself. I wear protective gear, and I also wear shoes. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't even wear shoes. I've seen a lot of broken fingers. And,
oh my God!
And
no. Toes.
And toes or beat up feet or
stomped on.
Shoulders that have been twisted out. Like, you really have to
Sounds
be careful.
Sounds like Fight Club.
Yeah. You really have to be careful with how you're training, and sometimes the most reckless people are the new students, because they go all in without knowing shit.
Yeah.
And they need to understand technique before they start doing things like that. So I was even guilty of it in the beginning, because you're so nervous, you're just like, bah, you know. So it's hard. I've gotten injured by new people a bunch of times. If people don't clip their nails, I had a big slash across my face by somebody's nail that lasted for like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And so you can't have nails. I've cut my nails completely down.
Yeah, I would be able to wear
because
these nails.
I fight hard and I fight all the time. So I don't really want my nail to slash somebody's face up or claw into them.
Yeah.
Actually, the reason I found out was because this girl, when I first started, was like, "Yo, I practiced with you last week," and she showed me her arm, and there were all these little moon shapes. She said, "Those are from your nails. You should probably take your nails off." She like showed me her like my nails dug into her arms from the week before.
The track marks you left behind.
But it's hilarious. I mean, there's all different kind of people in there too, like artists and actors,
and
there's
is it
also
mixed
like business
gender?
People. Yes, yes, big time. You've got super tiny people and big freaking dudes. Like, you've got everything.
Wow.
It's really interesting, because then you're up against all these different
body
types.
So you spar with all different gender and body types.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We even
That's
have
intense.
People, we have people that are skinny, and we have people that are super fit, and then we have people who are thick. Mm. I mean, there's all different kinds of people there. And it's a humbling experience, because you're learning how to do something that's really dangerous, and you have to take yourself for what you are and work within your limitations and then push beyond them. It's a lot, but it's really fun, and I'm enjoying the challenge. I don't really feel like dating anymore. Like, I've gone out on a few dates over the last year and a half that I've been doing it, and I'll be sitting there and I'll just be like tapping my feet and like itching and going, "Oh my God, there's a Krav class right now, and I could be there having so much fun right now. And I'm sitting here with you, fucking sitting at this table talking small talk about bullshit. And I feel like never compatible with anybody anyways. I feel like every date ends up being a waste of time.
You're very, very old fashioned. You don't seem the booty call type.
No. I've gone through too much trauma. That last guy really fucked me up when I found out how he was lying. So I just, since then, I'm like, I'm too old and too wise. I'm not searching anymore for what I used to search for.
Was that the crazy guy that proposed?
No. No, he wasn't like that. He was a sociopath. He was like 99% of everything on a sociopath list.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like I was like, when I read up, because the thing is I started talking about my mom and how depressed I was and how depressed she was making me, and I started talking about how I felt on Facebook, and somebody said, look this up, okay, I think your mom's a narcissist. And I read it, and then I was like, oh my God, that's my boyfriend too. And then I was like, and they both would gaslight me, I mean, all of that stuff. And I was like, let me take it a step further and look up sociopath. And when I read sociopath, he was almost everything on that list.
What are the key things to look for when you come across a sociopath? How do you spot one?
They do things like they'll love bomb you. So they'll like really, really, really love you, and they'll pay you tons of attention. Mm. And then they'll like get distant. But then every time you start to wonder what's going on, they'll be like, oh, there's nothing wrong. I don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
And it's this constant like push, pull, like weird attention playing game. This particular one withheld sex from me. And that kind of ruined my taste for sex, because it hurt my libido, especially since I was in my prime at that time. And I mean, I still am, but you know, in that area of my, there was a lot more that was going on there. Like there were certain things he wouldn't stand up for, and he was misogynist, and the way he would kiss me or touch me, like, or get turned on by me was very like I was an object instead of a person. But yet at the same time, he would say things that would like, but then when we were, it just wasn't, it was way more than that though. It was just like, he was a charmer. You know, he was beautiful. He had taste in music and culture that was really interesting. I mean, he just seduced me in all those ways that, you know, you want to be seduced by somebody that you're attracted to, but yet he wouldn't have sex with me. And he was like, no, we're just gonna.
So he was looking for worship, is what you're almost describing. He was looking for someone to worship.
Yeah, him. And then after I broke up with him, one of my friends contacted me and said, you know, I didn't want to say anything when you were dating him, but I knew him years ago, and that's exactly how he used to treat this girl that I knew. He would torture her. She would constantly be obsessed over him because he would fucking do this shit where he was playing with her head all the time. He would act like he didn't have a girlfriend, but yet he would act like he was so committed to her. Mm-hmm. And like then he would be distant, and they're all the same shit. But aside from that, she told me about other things about him that he used to do. I mean, legal stuff and enabler of drug dealers with a space he used to run.
Jesus.
I found a lot of dirt on this guy after he disappeared, so I wasn't fucking crazy after all. And
it's scary, you know, when you fall for someone that is really bad for you. Afterwards, you feel like it's not safe to fall for anybody. You really question your own judgment.
Yeah, and so I'm kind of there.
I've been there.
But
I'm
also,
still there to some degree.
Can I tell you his chart real quick?
His chart?
He was a Scorpio with a Leo rising and an Aries moon.
Oh, wow. I'm a Scorpio Leo. Thank God for my Sag moon.
Thank God for it, because that Aries moon. My mom is Aquarius with a Scorpio rising and an Aries moon.
Oh, my. Something's up with an Aries moon, folks.
And the Scorpio.
Well,
with those two, you know, it was a bad
don't
mix.
Knock Scorpios.
I'm not knocking them. I'm just saying
I'm a
they
proud
had
Scorpio.
No, listen, I know a lot of amazing Scorpios, but you know that Scorpio is a sign of darkness, and Well, you know, there's some darkness in there. It can be very vindictive when they're angry.
It's also like the phoenix and rebirth.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, I love how sexy Scorpios are, and I love how passionate they are.
We're
and
not
I,
afraid to get our hands dirty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that stuff. But I'm just saying that was the tendency between them. That was the pattern.
Completely, yeah.
And so...
And Aries are known to be drawn to the dark side.
Yeah. And also Leo, the Leo thing is a very self-centering thing. So they would always center themselves. Like it was...
Right.
You know, like even when I would get so upset in front of him and I would cry in front of him and he would just watch me. And like, I just knew I had to get away from him. Like I started finding jewelry on the ground that said, I love you. That was like the universe was like talking to me. Like it was, I was walking with him and we were having a fight and I looked down in Central Park and I picked up, it was one of those friendship necklaces, and it was a black half of a heart, and I picked it up, and I turned it over, and there was a tiny white rhinestone in it, and it said, I love you, and it was a half of a heart from the universe, and I was like, I gotta get away from this guy. The universe is telling me it loves me, and he is not telling me he loves me, and, but yeah, he was always there, and he was, I was like, just like,
Vampire.
Yes, exactly. He was very, he would use that word insidious all the time. And then by the end, when I found out about all of his lies, I said, no, you were insidious. You were the one wrapping your control and talons around me.
Inconceivable.
Yeah. So it was an interesting process. And I actually told him when I met him, because I felt for him, sorry, I was like, you're going to ruin me. And he did. But I'm okay with it, because I know that when love shows up, that it's going to be, like, the thing, because now I have no time for anybody. Yeah. I have no time for anybody. I would so much rather be alone. Like, I love being able to be in my house and nest and make myself luscious food, and just like you have, like, done with your house here. You
know? I like my sanctuary.
Yeah, I love
my
that.
My tempo.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And that's the Cancer rising in me. It's like, I need to be home.
They're the nurturers too, Cancers.
Yeah. And so it's been a hard balance though, you know, all of that stuff. And also I know all of these amazing people in New York, and I've been traveling all this time, and I feel like my relationships with people here have not been developed enough. So not only do I need to be here for training to really soak up my training, but I want to see the people that I love that I've been working with all these years and work with new people. I'm mentoring somebody now.
Oh, cool.
Yes. I was approached by the most amazing, vivacious, bubbly girl who is totally my child.
Oh.
I mean, she can't literally be my child because she's, you know,
No, you know, your burlesque daughter.
Yeah, yeah. She called on me to mentor me, and I told her, well, I need an assistant, and if you are my assistant, you're going to soak up a lot of information. So do you want to do this? And she has. And she and I have an amazing rapport together. She keeps me on point. She roasts me. She's brilliant. She has an incredible voice. She comes from a musical theater background. She's vivacious, but she doesn't even know how to get started in burlesque. And I'm like, I have everything you need. Come to me. And we spend so much time together. She calls me and tells me she loves me. She has mommy issues just like me and you.
Oh.
And so her and I have bonded on all of these levels. So
She has what I like to lovingly call a Snow White complex.
Yeah.
You always hear about the Cinderella complex. Yeah. But girls like us, we're Snow White
complex.
Yeah.
I never really thought about that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I never really thought. That's awesome. That's a good way to put it.
Locked in a tower.
Yeah.
Hateful mama.
And she and I have, like, been there for each other for that, even though it's only been a couple months that we've been talking, and it's like, I just feel like I've known her forever, like, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, you are my child, and now I'm going to take you and introduce you to all my friends and tell you who you should be working with and send you for a day with my ex-husband, Muffin, to work with him on one of his projects, send you for a day with Bambi or with you. Go be my friend's assistant for the day. Go check out what they're doing. I want you to be fully submerged. You're one of us now. You know, and because I've had mentors, and I'm not going to call them out by names or anything like that, but they didn't mentor me the way that I would want to be mentored. And so I'm kind of excited to be like, I'm really excited to show you way more than they had time to show me. I'm going to make time for you. I'm going to make sure that you get all of that that you need, especially since you're open and you're working for it, and she's real. Like, she's not underhanded. I've already seen a couple situations happen in her own life and how she's handled them, where I'm like, she's not going to stab me in the back.
Right.
She's just not. I know she's not. It's one of those things where you meet somebody and you know the relationship is just right.
Yeah.
So that's where my love and my family is now. It's like, that's the kind of love that I'm trying to build now. I've still got a lot of battles out there in the world, though, but I'm trying to wind them down and sort of become a little more private.
Well, thank you for sharing your healing journey with us today.
Thanks. I would love to see more people getting on it, you know.
Cheers.
Yeah.
To being a mentor, too.
Yes. It's exciting times. I have been in burlesque for 18 years now.
Where can the listeners find you in cyberspace?
You can find me on Facebook and on Instagram, Amber Ray, AmberC, just the letter C after Amber Ray. And you can find me on Facebook. I have a fan page there.
Are you still on Etsy?
I do have an Etsy store, but it isn't up right now. But when it is, it's amberray.etsy.com. Very easy.
Oh, yeah.
In June, the store should be relaunched because I'm trying to get myself more. I've been doing a lot of headdresses and higher end pieces for people lately.
Like awesome.
Expensive stuff. And cool I shit, love doing that stuff. Yeah, if you look at my IG, you'll see those adventures.
Oh, man, I need to look at that.
Yeah, I'm going
to post. What are you on Instagram?
Amber Ray C.
Got it.
Yeah, and so those are the kind of things that I want to do because I like being home and having my private life and going to training. But I still have my residency at Duane Park. We're having we have our 10th year anniversary right now at Duane Park. And I'm also on the outer rings of being a resident artist at the House of Yes.
Because oh,
I've been
yay.
Working with them for about a year now.
I love them.
Yeah.
It's so good working there.
Yeah. And I just, I'm an almost 40-year-old club kid again. It's kind of funny. I'm like working with all these people and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be 40. And they're like, what? These 22-year-old dancers.
So like, funny.
Yeah, they're so funny.
Well, cheers to that.
I know. Thank you, Velocity. It's so nice to see you again. It's been too long.
I know. And you can catch archive episodes of Fallen Woman at fallenwoman.com. Thank you again, Amber Ray.
Thank you, Velocity. Love you.
Love you more.
Mother, mother, how's the family? I'm just calling to say hello. How's the weather? How's my father? Am I lonely? Heavens no. Mother, mother, are you listening? Just a phone call to eat. The heart grow blind. When you send me off to see the world, were you scared that I might get hurt? Would I try a little tobacco? Would I keep on hiking up my skirt? I'm hungry, I'm dirty, I'm losing my. I'm starving, I'm bleeding to death, everything's fine. Yeah, I'm working, making money, I'm just starting to build a name. I can't feel it, around the corner. Make it any day.
you.
Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. And when I feel like a motherless child, I am not alone. You are not alone. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. A long, long way from. Sometimes I feel like I'm almost gone. Sometimes I feel like I'm almost gone. Sometimes I feel like I'm almost gone. A long, long way from home. Sometimes I feel like a bird in the sky. Sometimes I feel like a bird in the sky. Sometimes I feel like a bird in the sky. A long way from home. Crying. Motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. A long way from. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. And when I feel like a motherless child,
Gesor o vilagro, shabol berol do vader o ganyairi an laba. Oro oro oro, gesor o vilagro. Gesor o vilagro, gesor o vilagro. Kushulig u kluin ya martin druch do lemogro. Oro oro oro, gesor o vilagro.
Sorrow,